Can I ask Rabbi Yerushalayim? Are cigars a problem for on Pesach?
Cigars?
Someone said the glue might be a problem. Someone said it's just tobacco leaves.
I'm going to look up in some of the, one of the Kashrus guides. I mean, the Pesach guides to see what they say.
And does Rabbi know where the minhag came from? To not eat matzah from Purim time?
To do what?
To not eat matzah from Purim time? The Mishnah Berurah just brings from Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
Yeah, it's all minhagim. I mean, it's just an extension of the same thing. Yaakov, which is one of the Achronim in the page of the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Pesach, what it says there is the minhag is not eaten from, it says, Reish Hei. It sounds like Rosh Hashanah. So some say it's a tough self, we're supposed to say Rosh Chodesh, but Rosh Hashanah is a lot earlier than Purim. Okay, so we'll go through a number of points, some maybe basic and some that's beyond basic, hopefully, on the halachas of the Seder.
Can I sit next to you?
Oh, it's a pleasure.
I left the other on the other side, but yeah. I can do
So we discussed last week already the idea, by the Dal Kosos, we mentioned that that everybody has to drink the kos, although there are various minhagim as to whether everybody makes kiddush himself or not. But in either way, everybody has to drink the kos. That we mentioned that now, and we also discussed what's in the kos, so, wine versus grape juice. So, the first thing I just want to stress now is that drinking the Dal Kosos is one of the mitzvahs where haseva, where reclining, is critical, and at least for men, the minhag for Ashkenazim is that only men do haseva, not women. But it's critical to do that, and it's right at the beginning of the Seder, the first kos. So you have to, and kiddush is something you make every Shabbos and Yontif, and a person could sort of be, if he's not concentrating, could just sort of do his rote and end up drinking it sitting. And there's a shaila whether yotzi even b'di'evit. It's machalok rishonim whether haseva nowadays is indeed a critical and essential part of the mitzvah or not. So lemaisa, when it comes to the Dal Kosos, when it comes to the Dal Kosos, sometimes we'll repeat it and sometimes we won't if a person forgot haseva. Now, because you might say, well, if it's important, why don't we always repeat it? But there's also a concern that you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to add kosos. You're not supposed to do something that gives the appearance near a kamosif halakosos. It's supposed to be dalet kosos and not more. And therefore, if you're going to have to, if you drank already the kos without haseva, and then you realize afterwards, and you're going to drink another kos, you'd have to make another bracha, which would give the appearance that that it's an additional kos, that there's not four koses but five koses or more. So,
do people not drink wine during the suda, so that people should not drink wine during the suda, so that they don't go to suda?
No, that's okay, because the wine during the suda, you don't make it a special bracha. Once you make a bracha on the second kos, which leads into the suda, since it's normal, it's routine to drink wine during a Shabbos or Yontif, especially Yontif meal. If it's Yontif meal, it's a chiyuv to drink wine, so that doesn't require a new bracha. So that you don't have the problem near a kamos of lakosos. But if you drank a kos, let's take the third or fourth kos, and you drank it, and you didn't do a seva, so then that's not at a point where you drink more. In fact, you're after the after coma. You're not allowed to drink wine other than the third or fourth kos. Other than that, you're not even allowed to drink wine. So you certainly would have to make a bracha if you were to add another kos, and then it would be near a kamos of alakosos, which is a something that one is supposed to try to avoid. So when it comes to the first, so when it comes to the second kos, since we just said that it's the bracha on the second kos is meant to cover any wine that you drink until benching, so that if you forgot and that you drank the second kos without haseva, you would definitely repeat it, drink it again, behaseva. The first kos, however, it depends. If you finish the kos and there's nothing left in the kos already, then you can't repeat it, because like it would require a new bracha. Unless, Mishpura mentions, if a person, he knows, he might forget, so he stipulates before, when he makes the bracha, before he starts Kiddush, he stipulates that the bracha, Bar Pri HaGafen, I'm going to make now, should cover any wine I have until I start the Haggadah. So this way, if he forgets to be Mesiv, he could repeat it again. They're saying, well, if you just made that tonight, so then you're not going to forget. Well, first of all, so great. If it helps you not forget, that's also a Maila. But it's not even so Pasha, because, like I said, you're starting Kiddush. The Bar Pri HaGafen is the beginning of Kiddush. You're going to have to make that. You'll make that tonight. Right before you make Kiddush, you say, the Bar Pri HaGafen I'm about to make in Kiddush should cover any wine I have until I begin the Haggadah. So by the time you get to the end of Kiddush, it's already a couple of minutes later, you know, the Kiddush should be on it. And also, like as I said, people, you're used to drinking sitting in a regular sitting position. So it is possible the person might have made that tonight and still forget. So if you made that tonight, then you could refill the kos and drink another kos without a new bracha and make sure to do a seva this time. But if you didn't make such a tonight, then only if there's wine left in the kos and there's still a shear, still a revius, then you could drink it again, beseva, or continue drinking it, beseva. But if you already finished the wine of the coast and you didn't have any in mind that you're going to necessarily drink any other wine, then you would simply move on without it. Since it's a machlokas rishonim, and it could be that haseva bismanazeh is not critical, why not? Because we don't normally do mesiv. It's not the normal, even a ben chorin, it's not normally mesiv. So some rishonim say it's not ma'akev, so therefore you would continue without it. When it comes to matzah, achilas matzah, if you forgot to be mesiv, then you have to repeat it. You have to repeat the eating the kezias of matzah, which, you know, adds to the volume of matzah you can have to eat that night, which, you know, some people find it challenging as it is. And so you certainly want to be careful when you just made the bracha achilas matzah, and it's possible you're not yotzi the mitzvah. So you definitely want to try to be careful not to forget to do haseba by achilas matzah. When it comes to mara, we don't do haseba at all, because mara is not derech cheres at all. Mara is a zecher of the shibud, so you don't do haseba. Karech, which is the matzah and mara together, there we do haseba, because bizman shebeis mikdash hayikayim, according to Hillel, that's the way they ate. That's the way they did mitzvah mara. They did it together with the matzah and the pesach and the carbon. If he did?
Yeah, but I feel like everyone's doing the
thing,
so like, people get confused.
I doubt it's Makiv that way. I don't think it would be Makiv that he'd have to eat it again. But Karech has said that you would do with a Seva because Bizman, Beis HaMikdash, according to Hill, that's the way you Makayim the mitzvah of Matzah, the mitzvah of Achilas Karban Pesach, together with Mora. So once it's together with those other mitzvahs, then Avada, it should, his Seva should be done. Okay, now, I just want to mention that when it comes to eating the matzah, we know that when we do any of the mitzvahs of Leil Pesach, any of the mitzvahs that involve eating, namely matzah and marah, we're careful not to eat anything else together with it, because you don't want something else to interfere with the tam and maybe be mevatel the tam matzah or the tam marah. It's supposed to taste it, so you don't mix other foods with it. But when eating matzah, a number of posts can bring down that it's okay if you find it easier to eat it this way. It's okay to be matbil, to dip the matzah in water, not to soak it in water. To soak the matzah in water till it mamash becomes soft, that's mutter, it says, only for a chola or a zaken, a person who can't eat it otherwise because of his health condition or his advanced age. He can't eat the matzah. He will not be able to come the mitzvah without it. Then it says it's mutter for him to actually be shorer, which means to soak it in the water, just in the water, till it gets, you know, nice and soft, and he's able to eat it that way. But for a person who is capable of eating it normally, just that he finds it more difficult, it would be much easier if he could have some water with it. So then many poskim say it's mutl chatchila to be matbil. I mean, just to dip it in the water, dip it in and out this way, it gets a little water on it. Perhaps it absorbs a little bit of water, but doesn't become soft and mushy. Or another etza is actually to put some, to drink a little water with it. A number of poskim say, Rosh Hashanah Zalman Arbach, Scheinberg, a number of other poskim say that it's okay to do that. And there we're not afraid. Water is not mevatel tam matzah. The water is tasteless, and it's just adrab. It's enhancing. It's enhancing the matzah. In fact, Rav David Feinstein, as I got to point out, that even by in terms of salt, it doesn't say that we don't put salt in the matzah because it's mevatel tam matzah. It says you don't put salt in the matzah because it's lechem oni, so you don't mix anything with the lechem. But it doesn't say it'll be mevatel tam matzah. So he says, well, why not? Because some of the salt adrab, it enhances the tam. Salt is a it enhances the flavors of food. So water for sure. Water, doesn't take away from the tamatza. So a number of people can say this, that it's okay to do that, to dip it. And this is either by chilas matza, and certainly by afikoman, where it's, could be even more of a difficulty to eat the shear of matza within the shear of zman.
I've seen by a Rosh Hashiva who already in his 90s can't take the hard stuff. With matzah, with the doused in grape juice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's
you can do that too.
For a chol or a zaken, it's brought that some say you could do that as well. Right. Okay. Now, another din I want to discuss before maybe we'll get to some of the just go through the seder a little bit, and that is when it comes to maror. So, what should one use for maror? So the Mishnah lists five minim, five possible forms of vegetables, and it says that the they're listed in order of preference. The earlier it is in the list, the more preferable it is to be yosi with that. So, chazeres, which the poskim say is chasa, which means lettuce, is at the top of the list. Tamcha, which some say is horseradish, that's number three on the list. So to begin with, even though people you might find it strange, the horseradish, which means that's really that's hard to eat. That really reminds you of the Sheba. That's bitter and difficult to eat. Whereas the lettuce is fairly easy to eat. But yet, we find in the Mishnah that the chasa, the chazeres, the chasa is a preferred min. And there are achronim that say the Chacham Tzvi says that he doesn't believe you can be yotzi altogether with horseradish. He says it's not a meichel. Nobody eats raw horseradish. It's not called eating. It's not called a chilas. That's what he said. No, either they're achronim, they're chaylik, and say that that you could do it, and etc. But it's for sure okay to be yotze with chasa, with lettuce. The question is why? You say, but it's not bitter. So the teres is that even though it's not bitter, but it says it's not bitter betchilas gidulo when it's harvested towards the earlier stage of growth or of ripening. If it's allowed to remain in the ground till it ripens further, itaka becomes bitter. That's what it says. And mimela, it's gufa, reminiscent of the sheba. The sheba also was it started off musok at the beginning. It was come on, let's do this together with Paro. And we need some construction projects. Let's build up Mitzrayim. And it was like it was Masuk, and certainly the years before. But even the beginning of the year was Masuk, and it ended up Tchilas and Masuk with Sofo Mar became very bitter. So the lettuce is reminiscent of the Shibet in that sense. Not reminiscent in the sense that I'm tasting the bitterness. Now that being said, there are Achronim that say that. Yeah, true. It's the mila of the Chas is that Tchilas and Masuk with Sofo Mar. But when you eat it, it has to have at least a shtickel tam marer. The Chazanish held like this, and they bring from Rabbi Yashiv his brother as well that he held at least, that on at least on a lechatchila level, it should not be the way we are used to eating lettuce or romaine lettuce, where it tastes perfectly good. People buy lechatchila for a Shabbos and mix it and make salads for it. They prefer it over, whatever else, because it tastes very good. So Zeg the Chazanish, no, that's not what's meant by chazeres. It means that it's taka left in the ground till it develops some bitters, not till it becomes kulomar, where then you start running into the question of that it's not really edible, but where it has a bitterness to it. So that's what the Chazon Ish says. And as I said, it's brought from Rabbi Yashiv that he said that it's preferred. The minhag ha'olam is not that way. The minhag ha'olam is to eat it when it the way you know when it tastes fine, and that's why you know it's brought. Many say that you yotze that way, and that's it's fine to do it that way. It just I found it very interesting that Rabbi Yashiv is brought as saying that if you're doing that, okay, you can do that, but you know what? Better than that, only one person should make a bracha and be motzi everybody else. Tov l'mayit b'brachas, meaning like he's okay. You want to be on the mitzvah that way? Okay, so for a mitzvah the rabbanon, you could be somech on those poskim, but to make a bracha already, I'm not so sure. So he says, okay, one person. It's just such an interesting concept. Obviously, I guess he must have held ladino yoyosi. Otherwise, how could you tell? So one person make a bracha. That's all. I mean, that wouldn't make sense. And also, even if it's a mitzvah the rabbanon, but you have to be yotzi the mitzvah the rabbanon, and you. So, but he said, okay, tov l'mayit b'brachas. Al kapanim, again, I don't think that's the minhag ha'olam. I think the minhag ha'olam is people use it and they make a bracha on it like regular. Now everybody knows that there's a concern with romaine lettuce, particularly, which is the min that most use. Although I will add that it's brought in the name of Rav Aaron Cutler. One of the well known things. B'shem Rav Aaron, that he said there's no difference between any type of lettuce; they're all the same. And that's where Rav David Feinstein also brings that down. And it's like God in the Kol Dodi, he brings down that he says B'shem Gadol Echad, he stumbles even Rav Aaron, but he says himself as well, they're all the same. I heard Rav Shmuel first also said this, you know, publicly that you could use iceberg lettuce as well. Others say Davka Romaine. I saw brought from Rav Gustman, he said Davka to use Romaine. So Romaine lettuce we know has a problem with infestation, especially around this time of year. So it's critical that it be cleaned properly or be purchased from people that cleaned it properly. Now, so one of the possible ways of avoiding the problem of getting lettuce that's naturally cleaner is if it's hydroponically grown. It doesn't mean it's not a guarantee, but it's a good head start. And there are places that grow it hydroponically in a way that it is indeed bug free. So the question is there anything wrong with that in terms of the mitzvah of maror? Can you be yotze with something that's grown hydroponically on water or whatever? There are different various methods of hydroponic growing now. Is that any different than the regular maror that grows in the ground? So what the poskim talk about before that is they talk about maror that's grown in a otzitz sheino nakov. I mean, it's not grown directly in the ground. It's grown like in a flower pot in dirt, but the dirt is not connected to the earth, and it's eino nakov, meaning so it's not even there isn't even a hole in the bottom of the flower pot which would draw a connection to the earth. So there's a shaila, first of all, what bracha do you make? What bracha do you make on vegetables that are grown in a otz sheino nakov? The chayadim paskins, you make a shahakol. You grow vegetables which are normally hadama, but they're grown in the otz sheino nakov. You make a shahakol. That's what the chayadim paskins. Many achronim say differently. The Chazon Ish paskins differently. Says it's a regular bracha hadama. Rabbi Yashiv also paskin. There's a tshuva in the sefer Yisa Yosef, which is tshuvas of Rav Yosef Efrati. They're all tshuvas that are built on Rabbi Yashiv's psakim, or at least end up with giving over Rabbi Yashiv's psakim. But they're tshuvas. They're not just quotes from Rabbi Yashiv. They're tshuvas which Rabbi Efrati himself wrote. Sometimes it's just to explain Rabbi Yashiv's shita, and sometimes he goes through the suya, but I think every single one he ends up with what Rabbi Yashiv Paskin in a particular matter. So he brings that from Rabbi Yashiv. It's in the first Chelek of Baruch Chaim. He brings there that Rabbi Yashiv held the bracha is Hadama, and he says with that you for sure could be Yotze. And I think he brings Chazon Ish as well. Said if it's grown in an otzitz sheinu nakuv, that's fine. It's still called maror, and you could be Yotze the mitzvah with it. And the poskim or some poskim extrapolate that the same thing is true by hydroponics, and that's the point of that tshuva there as well, that even if it's hydroponically grown, it would still you be yotzi mara. And some they seem to say, and even if or a number of poskim say, even if you hold a bracha shahakol, because it's not a priyadamba, that's because you don't make a bracha by priyadamba, it's not a priyadamba, but it's still mara. It's the same min. It's the same lettuce. When you grew it here, you grew it there. It's the same lettuce. It's not a pre-adama. This lettuce is a pre-ha-mayim or whatever. So we just make a bracha shahakol. But it is mar. So that's how most say. I did see in Rabbi Rivia's sefer, Hilchos Pesach, Rabbi Yehuda was a nephew of Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, so he quotes him a lot in his Svarim. So at the end of the Sefer, he has some shuvas, and he brings there that Rabbi Belsky recommended not using it. He said it's not a good idea, or one should not use hydroponically grown maror, lettuce for maror, because he seems to be connected to it, since they're opposed to him, let's say the bracha is not even bari peradama, so he seems to be chashish that maybe it would go hand in hand, maybe it's considered like another min, it's not the min that the Mishnah lists. But many poskim I've seen say not like that, seems the chazanish, although they talk a pask in the bracha's hadama, but it seems that others take the approach that it's not totally zebezeh. So one could that is an option. There are poskim that say, but it might be maror, but it's not the maseira. The maseira is you take maror that's grown in the ground. I think the tshuvas from Rapado and the Cheshav Eifod, he passed his day that you could be yotzi with it, but he says, but you know the best way to do it is use maror that's grown in the ground. So there's a mila in that respect, and also if you're going to make a shahakol on hydroponics, so mimela you're not really making the perfect bracha on it. Now we don't make a brichas hanenin directly on mara, but we do make a brichas hanenin on karpas, and we have in mind the mara. But on karpas we're saying hadam unless you take karpas. Unless you take karpas, that's hydroponically grown, and say shahakal. But that would be a really strange seder if you got up to karpas and you made a shahakal. So, or at least that would be unusual, put it that way.
What would be an issue if I'm having the horseradish with the lettuce as well?
Because he's saying that this is not what Chazal was talking about. They're talking about maror that has bitterness in it.
So I'm saying you have the horseradish as well.
Okay, but I mean, so could you put something else on it which is not on the list altogether, and just to make it bitter, buy something in the store?
Well, chemical horseradish is one of the men.
Okay, but you're not eating it because I have horseradish. So you're saying I'm eating an eighth of a kazayis, a fraction of a kazayis of horseradish, and a nine-tenths of a kazayis of this, and I'm getting the bitterness. So Lamaisa, there are those that say to recommend doing that. Shmuel first every year recommends that. He says you should do that. You should eat some horseradish with the lettuce, you know, in order to get.
But you need the kazayis of the actual maror.
You need a kazayis of maror. So you're saying, so well, who says I can't combine two types of, you know, half of this and half of this, and then I get the bitterness? But I guess the still we have to know is that is this exact? If this is not what Chazal meant, meaning once you didn't let it grow long enough to get bitter, so it could be it's keilu, it's a different min. Could be it's not. It's not just it's lacking the maror. What's it lacking the maroris? And this is not the chazeris that they meant.
And one can make a bracha on maror just the work.
But you have to have a kazayis then, the horseradish. Once you do that, you don't need the mar, unless you want to help. And in fact, if the mar is not right, then maybe you'd be mevatel tam the horseradish. You're eating, it's like eating potato chips with your mar, right? So when Shmuel first says to do this, he's going with the sheet that you are saying that this is bona fide maror, just that there's an inyan to get the maroris. I know I've heard much David Zucker says he said the best that he says no inyan to do that. If we hold this is maror, tchilasu masik v'sofu mar, this is the min, this is mar yotze, then you don't need if you're using this, you don't need the bitterness. So he said, interesting, he said he once asked his Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, about is this gufut, should you, is it good to add maror horseradish to your lettuce to get the maroris? So Rabbi Yaakov said, not necessary, but he said, grad, I do it. So I do it because I enjoy the mixture of the bitter taste, and I want to be Mekayim Mitzvah Simchas Yomtev. That's what he told him. When he's eating his maror, he wants to be Mekayim Simchas Yomtev. That's what he told him. So he said he does it, but not halacha. I do it because I get a geschmack from it. That's what he told him. Okay. So in any case, so just to conclude that point, so it seems that there's probably a mile to getting proper. I mean, to getting ground grown. Lettuce, if you know romaine lettuce, if, as long as you can get it in a way that you're guaranteed that it's bug free, or you could, capable of making it bug free, then that would be a there is a mila to that in terms of, as I said, in terms of the mesira of not doing something new. But la halacha, we follow the poskim that even if you get it, even if it's hydroponically grown, that it would be you'd be yotzi the mitzvah. And in terms of the bracha, as I said, you're not making bracha anyway. The bracha, even those who say it's a shahakol, mustamba would agree that b'dieved you yotzi if you made a bari pri adama. Hagam is this particular, you know, this particular lettuce wasn't grown in the adama, so it's not. But it's a pri adama lettuce. Romaine lettuce is a pri adama. This one wasn't grown in the adama. So some of they agree that b'dieved you yotzi anyway. You certainly have the chazanish b'samichan and others. So if you're making adama by the karpas, you would just be motzi it, you know, that way. Okay. So let's just go through some of the steps and maybe another couple of points. So you start off with Kiddush, and we discuss what's in the kos. And so in terms of how much to drink of the kos, lechatchila, it's best to drink an entire revius. And some say it's best to drink the entire kos, which means that you may want to try to get a kos which doesn't hold more than a revius, or you know, not as close to a revius as possible, meaning you know a revius, at least a revius, but as close to that as possible, so that you don't have to drink extra, especially if you're drinking wine, which is as we mentioned last week, is the preferred mashke. Lemaisa, if you can't drink that much, or for whatever the reason, you are yotzi with a rov revius. If you drink a rov revius, you yotzi the mitzvah. Now, what a revius is, so there are many different shitas. This year, where Pesach does not fall out on a Friday night, the first Seder is not Friday night, the second Seder is never Friday night, so the mitzvah of Adal Kosis is the Rabbanan, and even the Kiddush of Yantar, we say, is the Rabbanan. So those who follow the shitas of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who follow the Kol Dodi Hagadah from Rav David, where he brings down his father's shitas, Lagabe Shiurim, the shear is only there were two versions in the Kol Dodi. He originally wrote 3.3 ounces, then he revised it to 2.9 ounces, which is not an awful lot of wine, and especially if you're only drinking rov. I mean, if you find it difficult, people that find it difficult and say, like, if I drink too much, you know, it's going to ruin my seder, this and that. So if you drink a rov of 2.9 or even 3.3, we're talking all of a little bit more than 1.5 ounces, which is not, you know, a major deal. Okay, for a person that might have some sort of, you know, a diabetic condition or something else, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's not. But, you know, in general, it's not that forbidding. It's definitely better to do that. It's better to drink a rov revius of wine than a revius shalem of chamar medina, for example, which you could technically be yotzi with. If you can't be yotzi with yain, you could be yotzi dalkos with chamar medina. What chamar medina is itself a whole tumul. So it's much better to drink a rov revius of wine than a revius of chamar medina. And I'd venture to say even a rov revius of wine over a rov revius of grape juice, because as we mentioned last week, b'shem rabosh and v'liyashav, that with grape juice you're not yotzi the mitzvah b'shle muso. You de yayin yotza, you de cheres lo yotza. You're not yotzi the full inyan of the dalkosa. So better to do that. Better to use wine rather than grape juice, even if it just means drinking a rov revius. And okay, now as I said, of course it should be drunk beheseba. There is a mila to the wine being red, and there's also a mila to the wine being not mavushal. These are milas. These are neither one of these is ma'akev. And there's people that have people at their seder whose contact or pouring the wine would create shilas if it's not mavushal, will sometimes just you know, avoid it because just out of practical reason, and they'll use yayin mavushal. So you're yotzi with yayin mavushal, but if you don't, if there's no issue of that, and you can get yayin she'enu mavushal, that is a preference.
You say it's best not to use red wine.
No, best to use red wine. Red wine, yes, but yayin mavushal, not. Best, it should be non-mavushal. Yes, red, but not non-mavushal.
Is there any mila to diluting the grape juice to diluting wine with grape juice, would it be better to have just plain wine, but like a smaller cup maybe, to fulfill that sheet that Rebbe said about drinking the whole cup?
Well, if you could mix, if there's enough wine in the cup that it tastes alcoholic, that the percentage is not less than about 4% alcohol, and then mix it with grape juice. So I'm going to say that at the end, the combined drink is about 4% alcohol. Then there will be mila to do that and drink the whole thing. Yes, rather than drinking, let's say, 7% alcohol and only drinking rov. Okay. This is the shear for all four koses. The last kos is brought that one should try to be mahader to drink the full revias, not in the midin dal koses, but midin bracha chrona, because you're going to be making a bracha chrona. The first two koses, you're not making a bracha chrona. You're going to be benching after the first two koses. Maybe we'll come back to that in a second. The third and fourth is after brachas amazon, so you're going to be making ala gefen at the end. So there's definitely a mila to drinking a revias. They all bring down by the fourth coast. Lachar could be by the third, you know, if you already did it by the third, then Lachar you shouldn't have to do it by the fourth. The point is to drink one time, drink a revias within the shir, so that when you make a bracha chron, it's a avad echiyev.
Who wants to have wine one time during the Suda? One time wine and then grape juice. Is there a specific
coast
that's better to have wine?
One is one coast over the other? Offhand, I'd say no. It's not to see what the difference is, because it's a package deal. I mean, for Kiddush, grape juice is okay. So for benching, all the other mitzvahs, you know, maybe the second coast, because the second coast is on the Haggadah. We say Atah B'nei Chorin, and we go through the whole Haggadah, and, you know, and everything. So now maybe there's a Baruch Hashem in Gal Yisrael. So now is the Shmitz time to be Yotzi Yidei Cheres. Maybe. I don't know if there's any halacha.
He'll stay up.
He won't fall asleep from the wine.
Oh, he's waiting to drink his wine.
No. People get sleepy sometimes.
I see. Okay. Maybe that's not also not a halachic factor, but maybe a practical one.
The second coast is the only one you would repeat if you didn't leave.
That's what comes out. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. Okay. So I just want to mention Agav that I think we discussed last year, so I won't go by Barichas, but I said the first two koses, you're not making bracha chrona, you're benching. So the shaila some poskim raises, well, that's very nice for the second kos, it's right before the suda, and you bench. But the first kos, between the first kos and the second kos, there's in many houses, let's say, there's quite a large gap, probably longer than what's normally called shir ichel, the amount of time that it takes for food or drink to get digested in your system, after which you can't make a bracha chrona. And so, or for that matter, even if you did make a bracha chrona later on something else, like you bench, it's not going to cover that wine. That wine is too late. That wine is already past the zman. So how do we do that? How do we go ahead and proceed with a long break without having made a bracha chrona on the first coast? So there is actually a tshuva from the Marach or Zerua, so from the Rishonim, Rabbi Yochai or Zerua. He's the son of the famous Zerua, Sefer Zerua, Rabbi Yitzchak or Zerua. That was his father. But the Marach or Zerua says that you should take and make a bracha chrona. If it's going to be a long break, you should make a bracha chrona. And some gedolim did that. His brother Rabbi Yasha did that. But Rabbi Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva in Michah Shlomo. He writes against that. He says if you make a bracha chrona, then it's how do you call it kiddush b'makom suda? The kiddush has to be linked to the Suda, Kiddush Makom Suda. So if you make a bracha chrona, you're severing the Kiddush from the Suda. So he's opposed to doing that. But he himself, it's brought, some years would actually sip water during the Haggadah, although b'derech klal one is not supposed to drink during the Haggadah, but he would take a little sip of water just to extend the time. Because if you drink something and then you drink a little bit later without before the time elapses, then that gives you an extension. It sets the clock back. So in fact, but he says he never told this to anybody to do this, but they found in his Haggadah, he wrote, you know, a few places along the side of the margin of Haggadah, then he'd take a sip, you know, sip of water, that to remind himself, you know, I guess he spaced it out when he figured it would be still within the shear. But in the tshuva he doesn't write. The tshuva, I don't believe he mentions that in the tshuva at all. In the tshuva he says, it's not shver, it's not a kasha, because since the Amiras Haggadah is connected to the wine, it's part of the Seder. The Seder involves drinking the kos and then saying that God, it's all one hemshech, it's all one thing that you're occupied in. So Mimela, the Shir Ichel is not relevant here. Interesting. So Shir Ichel has to do with Berachas Hanen, it has nothing to do with the mitzvah, but he says, but since you're drinking for the mitzvah and then you're continuing the mitzvah with the Haggadah and etc., it's not a factor. That's what he says. Anyway, I do believe that's also B'nai Yisrael, to be concerned, not to make a bracha chrona, and you know, not necessarily to be watching the clock at that point to make sure that that you get up to the second coast within any specific amount of time. Okay, so then we proceed into the Haggadah, with the. I mean, there's carapace in between, not going through every, you know, every step, but I just want to speak about the Haggadah that we know is a mitzvah deraisa, kind of a mitzvah of Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's definitely from one of the Iker mitzvahs of Alayla, that's one of the deraisas, one of the mitzvahs deraisa of the night, there's Achilas Matz and there's Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Those are two mitzvahs deraisa of the night, so, and we know it says, Kalamar B'lasapri Yetzias Mitzrayim, Reza Meshubach. There are Iker points of the Haggadah, though, for people that can't say the whole thing, or for women that are checking on the, you know, busy with the food or busy with the children or whatever it is, and they're not at the table the whole time. So the Iker parts of the Haggadah is first of all, it should be derech, it's supposed to be derech shela u'tshuva. That's one of the ways that in which the mitzvah Sibri Mitzrayim is distinguished from the daily mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it should be derech shel shuvah. So it's proper to be there for manashtan or to say, or even to say the manashtan is brought. Even a Talmud Chacham that's Yoshev Ba'atzma who says manashtan. And so the manashtan, and then the tshuva to the manashtan is right there afterwards in the paragraph of Avodim Hayinu, where basically, we'll get to you in just 1 second. Where basically what we're saying is that what manashtan is, we're asking questions. Why do we do a few things that give the impression that we're avodim, that we're eating maror, and we're eating matzah, which is lechemoni and lechem of avodim, and yet we're eating behaseba, which is derecheres, and we're doing tibul, which is derecheres. So that's when you sowed behind the whole manishtanda, but that we're asking why are we doing things that seem to be contradictory, and the answer is right away avodim ayinu l'parah mitzrayim vayotzienu shem l'nisham, because we were this is the night when we were transformed from being avodim l'paro, and matzah eaters and maror eaters to becoming b'nei chorin who eat haseba and who dip their food in things that enjoy. So that's also an iker part of the Gada. Yes. No, it could be. It's because it says even if a person is sitting by himself, it says meforish even a person that's sitting by himself.
Yeah, but that's not the first law. The first law is supposed to be
back for him. Okay. Is it, I don't know, okay, maybe, but I mean, that's probably going to happen if there's at least two people to say it. So, you know, you mean you're saying because they should each say to each other. That's what you're asking.
Conversation, though, or it's not
the reading. Yeah, I don't know this stuff. You did it. You told it over, Derek Shalashuba. You posed the questions and you responded. That was, yeah. Okay.
Isn't
that
what? Josh's obsequium isn't a back and forth question.
No, I don't know what I mean, but I say the Haggadah, the Sibra starts that way, and then okay. Then the discussing the Eser Makos is in Iker point where the point of the Seder is to, of course, to be mechazdik the Amuna, but by going through what we went through, the Koshi Hashibud, and then how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacted and how he you know punished Mida Keneged Mida. It's connected with the Makos. To just at least a little bit of explanation, not the, you know, to basically what it was, but in general, the Haggadah, the person has to understand the Haggadah, or is, again, understand at least the equal components of the Haggadah. So it's kedai to understand what the makos were, and you know, to see at least a little bit, maybe the mida could take a mida in them, or something to take out that this was done. They weren't just 10 ways on a Kadosh Baruch Hu had a list of 150 things how to punish people that need to be punished, and they picked out 10, you know, whatever. No, but they were tailor made for the situation, and you know, to discuss them, and how also they showed the Hashgachas Hashem. They showed, I think it says by the Kinnim, I think it says, it was the Kinnim that it was they were able to determine the borders between a Jew and a non-Jew and a Mitzri had property bordering each other, and there was a border dispute, so they could tell exactly where the Kinnim ended. Exactly, that's exactly the border. Where the Kinnim end is on that side is Mitzri, and that side is Yehudi. And the fact that there were so many aspects to the Makos that showed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement and hashkacha and being mimali the bitachon his bitachon to Klal Yisrael, his havtacha to Klal Yisrael. So these are things that you want to bring out as much as possible. But it's mimali, even a person that has to be makatzer, but the makah should be discussed, or at least mentioned and understood. And of course the ikar mitzvah salayla Rabban Gamliel Hayomer to say what is the tachlis, what's the purpose behind the matzah, the purpose behind the mar, purpose behind the Karban Pesach, that's or at least that's represented on the, by the Kara. Okay. Now, as we mentioned before, that the minhag of Bnei Ashkenaz is to make a bracha on all the dalet kosos. So when we get towards the end, at the end of the first part of the Haggadah, the Sefer Tzias Mitzrayim ends with the bracha of Gaal Yisrael, and that's followed. That should be followed immediately by the kos. The second kos is nesakin on the mitzvah of Haggadah. Each one of the kosos was nesakin on a mitzvah. The first kos is Kiddush, the second kos is Haggadah, the mitzvah of Sefer Tzias Mitzrayim, the third kos is on Birch Zamazin, and the fourth kos is on Hallel. So there shouldn't be a hefsik there. And it's right after the Gaal Yisrael, one should immediately go into the Bar Pirah Gofen and drink the kos. But for that reason, some will don't even though in the Haggadahs they print Hinei Mukhar Mezuman, but many will not say that. You think it. It's good. Yeah, I mean, Mitzvah Shirchas Kavanah, it's proper. You should think while you're drinking this kos that even the kindness is kosheni, but lav davka, that it has to be articulated. And of course, as I said, Haseba is a Ikra Chiyav there. Okay, now let's just move along a little bit to Motzi Matzah. So by Motzi Matzah, we've discussed this in the past, but just review that the mitzvah deraisa is to eat one kazayas of matzah, one kazayas at the beginning of the Seder. And without Mekayim the mitzvah, but Erev Tochlu Matzahs. The post can say, however, that there's a suffix as to which matzah. We have three matzahs, right? Why do we have three matzahs? Because we have a matzah that we have first of all, Lecha Mishneh, and we have one matzah is there for the mitzvah of the Chilas Matzah, the other one is to be mashed into Lecha Mishneh, and then we have the third matzah, which is used for the mitzvah of Karech. So the second one is, you know, part of the second one is set aside for Afikoman later. So there's a shaila in the shposkim, which matzah, when we say the bracha of al achilas matzah, is that going on the top matzah, or is it going on the second matzah? It's a shaila in the shayim. And in order to do things perfect, we want to, it's proper to eat for the mitzvah, lechatchila. You could eat any matzah, but lechatchila, you want to eat a kazayas of matzah on which you made the bracha. The bracha specifically is made over that kazayas. So in order to do that, since we don't know is it the first or the second, so that's why we eat two kazayasim. We eat two kazayasim, a kazayas from the top and a kazayas from the middle one. And this way you get, for sure, a kazayas from the one that you made the al-chilas matzah, whichever it is. So according to that, it would only be the person who's actually making the brachas. A person who's not making the brachas or not getting matzah. If you're not getting matzah that the bracha was specifically said over, you're taking matzah from a pile in the middle of the table or from a box or whatever, then you wouldn't be accomplishing anything by eating two kazayasim. You really only have to eat one kazayas. However, there are two points to clarify in that regard. Number one is that it's there's taka and inyan that whoever possible should have the matzahs on which he could say the brachas and be in order to eat from a matzah, a kazayis matzah that the bracha alches matzah was set over. So if the balabas doesn't have enough to give out to people that'll be masked for that, so then it's proper, if possible, that each person should have his own matzah. So Ramesh has a tshuva on this where he encourages this. He says it could be every other person because the matzah is stomach big enough. There's enough in the shear to go for two people. So every two people should have. Sorry. Oh, what time is it?
No, it's 9:58. I'm saying like it was 9:43.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Got it. All right. But it's really 9:58 now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So let's just visualize. So either to have your own matzahs, take it, or but anyway, the other point I just wanted to say is that it comes out anyway because you have to eat a kazayis lefi the shiurim d'oraisa. We have a suffix about the shiurim ismanazeh. Whether so it comes out really if you're eating a kazayis d'oraisa, it's anyway basically equal to two kazayisim d'rabbanan. And when you do the, even if the balabas has two kazayisim, he doesn't have to have two kazayisim in the deraisa shear. He anyway only eats two kazayisim in the rabbanan. So it really comes out that the amount of matzah you're eating at the end is going to be the same whether you're eating whether you're the balabas or not the balabas. Okay, I have to end here and the questions.